Well, this morning, we're going to look at a heartfelt prayer this morning from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And as I read it this morning, I hope that you'll recognize that his desire for God is to stir up God's people. He was wanting to stir up God's people of his day. And I hope that this stirs you up this morning of this day. You know, the desire that many of us are feeling deep down inside that I think is to get the church to understand that we need God so much in our lives. So I want you to listen this morning to Isaiah's heart as he pours it out to God. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that you did not expect, you come down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, and no eye has seen any God beside you, who works for those who wait on Him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourselves, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness, and Zion has become a wilderness, and Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house where our ancestors praised you has been burned by fire. And all our pleasant places have become ruins. After all this, will you restrain yourself, O Lord? Will you keep silent and punish us so severely? Man, can you feel the desperation in Isaiah's prayer here? You know, he's serious about what's going on around him. And I think, why is Isaiah feeling this way? And he feels like God is so far away. Why was he so concerned about his nation? You know, Isaiah lived way past the glory days of Israel when King David and King Solomon lived, when they were secure and prosperous and God blessed them and the blessings were evident all around them. Isaiah lived in a really much different time later when generations of ungodly kings had led the people astray. When people had turned from the living God to all sorts of other religions that didn't have such a high moral requirement. It was a time when the seeds of moral degradation had time to produce the fruit of social injustice and violence. It was a time when God could no longer in good conscience bless what Israel was doing. And they had been attacked and invaded and plundered again and again by enemies. And Isaiah was one of the few people who even realized. He was the only one, it seems like, that realized the problem was the people. that had abandoned their God. And now God seemed so far away, as if God had abandoned the earth and was hiding up somewhere behind the clouds. You know, in verse 5, he said, it felt like God was hiding from them. In verse 6, he looked at the people and of his country, and he could see that they were unclean and morally polluted. Think about that. What do you see today? He says there, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. There in verse 7, they didn't even have the sense or the desire anymore to go looking for God or calling out to God. He says this, there is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. In verse 10 and 11, Israel's cities have even the great temple itself had been plundered and burned and laid desolate. And where was God through all this? Where was God through all this? Was he going to come and bless them again? Who else could they turn to? But how could he expect God to bless people who were so disobedient? How in the world could they get out of this mess? This mess, unless God would once again show Himself. Man, I so much desire that right now, today. I look at this world we live in, the country that we're in, and I see this picture. People who have turned away from God to all sorts of things. They've become morally polluted. They have a sense of godliness, but God does not live inside them. I can identify, can you this morning, can you identify with some of Isaiah's feelings in our situation today in this world? In this world today, especially here in America. Because what I heard from our missionary the other night, God is doing some amazing things in places around the world. But yet, when we look around here, we have to look hard to find it here. God feels so far away from America today and from many Americans. You know, there's been an avalanche of books and teachings and all kinds of spiritual things, of spirituality, and often, you know, read by people who really just given up on Christianity altogether. They don't even understand who God really is anymore. We've all heard, you know, I've had many conversations with people, and I tell them about some amazing things that God's doing. How He heals some people and how He saved people. And people just, some people are like, yeah. And some people just don't even get it. They just look at you like you're just out of your mind. They don't understand who God is. They don't even know what you're talking about. How much the church needs to be able to show the world that God is real and makes a difference in people's lives. Amen? But so often our words are powerless, and because people just don't hear it. They don't want to hear it, and they have no desire to hear it. You know, I talk to a lot of people. I hear a lot of people say, well, I want to come to church more. Or I want to read my Bible more. Or I want more of God. I want to know Him more. But they're so caught up in this world. They're so caught up in their own lives, the lives outside the church, that it or in some kind of self-indulgence, that they just can't break free. They're enslaved by this world, and they need God's power to get out. There's more than this world. Amen. We're now in a time where we feel the pull of the world, I think, the most now, ever. The society is pushing us to buy things, you know, to buy more and more and more. To have fun, to party more and more and more. To borrow more. Because if you can't get it, if you can't afford it, just go borrow the money and get it anyway. Let me tell you, that just enslaves you into a trap where you're bound into this world and you spend all of your time working for the world instead of for God. There's nothing wrong with having things. God blesses us with those things, and I don't want you to think that. But don't let it enslave your life. Don't let it pull you away from God. And yet here we're preparing, you know, we're getting ready for summer. Man, summer's coming. We're getting ready, school's getting ready to be out, and summer vacations are going to start beginning, and we so much need to take time to slow down. There's times where we need to get away. There's times where we need to go fishing. But that's just to kind of recharge ourselves so we can get back to the real important work, right? Amen? We need to listen to our hearts and listen to God. And I want to ask you, can you feel, I know some of you can, but can you feel the two sides pulling on you? Can you feel that pulling you, and it seems like it's always trying to pull you apart? And which side, though, is winning? Which side's winning this morning? I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Are you more into summer fun? Are you more in the mood to get closer to God? Where's your heart at this morning? Did you come expecting God to do something amazing? Man, I was thinking about that last night when I was going over my sermon. I was reading that scripture from Isaiah. And he was like, tear open the windows of heaven and come down. Man, I so much desire that. And I want to expect God, when I come, I want God to tear open the windows of heaven and come down. Have we lost that desire to ask God to be here in our services? Have we lost that desire to pray to God to be in our lives every day? I want to look up and see heaven. I want to look up and see Him. You know, a lot of churches now are, you know, we live in this time, it's so hard on churches too. I hear so many conversations between my pastor friends. We live in this woke culture that's evolving rapidly around us. And churches are caught between all this. We're caught right up in the middle of it, and some are, you know, caught between familiar traditions and how things used to be and the challenges of how things need to become and the differences in music styles are changing, and we have all this new technology that people are sometimes unfamiliar with, and it's evolving all the time, and the world economy is going through major shifts, and it's making huge impacts on our lives. We hear of wars and rumors of wars in diverse places. We hear these things. I remember the scripture and Jesus said, but the time is not yet. You'll see these things happen. But where is God in the midst of all of this? If there's any time the world needs to see God more, it's now. It's right now, today. There's a God who can guide us through the chaos in this world and in our lives. A God that can help us withstand the pressures of our life. A God who can heal the hearts of victims of rapid change that time's now, amen? I need God more now than ever in my life. I may be a pastor, but I'm still a person. I'm still a human. I still deal with everything that you guys deal with and even more. I hear so much. And it just breaks my heart, and I think we need God more now than ever. We live in a world that's so morally polluted that they don't even desire God any longer. I'm afraid so many people are going to slide out of a church pew and ride into hell because they never had a relationship with Christ. Most churches today are just struggling to hang on. Just struggling to hang on to their own members and their own youth, let alone address the great issues that we have in a world that we live in and community. We need God. We need God. We need to come to a place where we can dare to pray those prayers out loud. God, we need you. Tear open the heavens and come down on us. Amen? We need to trust God and expect God to make those moves, to move His hand in things going on in this world and in our church. It starts right here. It starts right here. It starts right there with you in your heart. We need to come to a place where God is so real in our hearts that we can make a difference in this world. We need to come to a place where we will see God's power moving among us, healing broken hearts and setting people free that are captive to the addictions that they suffer with. We need to see that today. Amen? Amen. We need to come to a place where the worship of God will permeate all of our lives. Folks, I want to say this. We're not called just to keep the church alive. We're not called. It feels like so much that the churches are just on life support. Beep, beep. And they're just waiting, just sitting around waiting for somebody to pull the plug. We're not here just to keep the church alive. We're called to turn the world upside down for Christ. Amen. That's what we're called to do. And we cannot do it alone. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. We need God. I plead with you this morning. Let's not just sit around. Let's not just sit around waiting to die. Let's ask God to just tear open the windows of heaven and come down. Fill us today, Lord. Overwhelm us with your holy presence. We as a Nazarene church, we're not just a church, we're not just a denomination. And the missionary brought this out the other night. He said, you know, we're a movement. We move. We're ongoing. We're moving forward. We're doing something. We're in motion. That's who we are. We're not just attenders. Hear me this morning. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning. I want to encourage you as Isaiah was trying to encourage his people of his day. We need God in our lives. Is there any hope? Yes, there is. Isaiah saw the hope in his prayer and You know, here we're going to celebrate just in a few weeks a moment that happened 2,000 years ago when God did such a great thing when He gave His only Son, Jesus, and He died for all humanity. Think of that. He died for you. He died for you. He died for me. We're going to celebrate that. That's hope. Let's hang on to Isaiah's hope and dare to believe that God can come to us in our need in a powerful way today. Amen?
Amen.
When he prayed, tear open the windows of heaven and come down. He believed that. Where can we find hope? In verse 3 it says, Isaiah reminded himself of God's mighty deeds in the past. The exodus from slavery in Egypt, the giving of the Ten Commandments. And I say, I'm always reminded about what God did for me when I got saved. He forgave me of my sins. Amen. He changed my life. I remind myself of that when I'm lacking in hope. I look at what Christ did for me. When we take regular time to read our Bibles, I want to say this and remind ourselves of what God has done in the past and what God has promised to do. He's got some amazing promises in there. We just sang a song, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Man, that is a wonderful promise, isn't it? That's hope that we have. I believe God can still do things like that. Amen. In verse 4, Isaiah reminds himself that God is a God who works for those who wait on Him. Sometimes we don't want to wait. Even when we think God has left the building and hidden Himself from us, we still wait with the hope and anticipation, not giving up on His ways. I read there in verse 8, Isaiah reminds himself that God is our Father. He sees us as His family. Hear this morning. He has to be stern with us sometimes. But He's committed to us. And He'll do what He says He'll do. Will that give you courage this morning? Will it give you courage to call out to Him today? Will it give you the courage to just cry out and not afraid to cry out loud to Him that you need Him in your life? I need Him in my life every day. I call out to Him, Lord, please open up the windows of heaven and fall down on my life. Fall down on our church. Are you desperate enough for Him this morning to call out like Isaiah did? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that has not made themselves right with You, Lord, Lord, I pray that You fall upon them today. Lord, I pray for our churches, this church, and all churches, Lord, that they see You again and they desire to serve You more and more, expecting that You can do great things and that You will do great things. Lord, let us be a people of prayer, a people of hope, desiring You in everything. Lord, I praise You today for what You're going to do because I know what You've already done. I praise You again. In Jesus' name, amen.